This is Untitled MMA.
Untitled MMA Podcast, December 3rd, 2019.
Coming. Why did you say December like that?
What? Like what? December? That was my Boston roots coming out.
Are there any roots of yours in Boston?
Yep. That's why
that
I said
doesn't sound like
December.
A thing.
December 3rd, 2019. Coming to the end of 2019. How time flies, friends. I don't know why that was so loud. I apologize. But, yeah, December, we finally have picks back this week for the first time in what feels like forever. So we'll be making picks at the end of the show. We got fight announcements out the ass, it feels like. Title fight announcements out the ass, I should say. We're going to give our must-see movie list in the post-MMA discussion. That should be interesting. I feel like we're all going to be in very different directions on our must-see movie list.
There's probably going to be a few overlap.
So we'll see how that goes. But before we get started, I'm Buju.
I am the notorious Brendan McGregor.
That's not your name.
Yeah, it isn't. But I'm just Bryce.
Just Bryce?
Just Bryce.
We have the most boring intros to our names ever, so I'm switching it up.
That's better than the fucking Star Wars podcast we listen to.
That's
I hate it so fucking much.
It's awesome.
It's so terrible.
It's awesome. You have no personality.
Wow.
I have the most personality.
I don't know about the most, but I wouldn't.
Let's do podcasts.
What is going? What? You need to chill out, my
the
guy.
The fact that you don't like it just made me mad.
No, it's so infuriating.
It's literally awesome.
Do I have to pull it up for the people to hear? Is this how we're starting our show? Is somebody else's intro?
Do
yeah,
it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
It's on. Star
what
Wars.
Is this podcast?
So
what's it called?
Job of the Pod.
It's Star Wars podcast, so they give them themselves.
Oh, fuck. I clicked on the wrong one. I just lost my place. Son of a bitch.
They give themselves, like, fake, like, I don't know, like
we
characters, I guess, as if they are a Star Wars person or was.
Buddy,
it's great.
Doesn't
it
that sound awful,
awful,
Bryce?
It sounds bad. It sounds really bad.
Hello and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's Jabba the Pod, our weekly Star Wars podcast where we discuss and celebrate the movies, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away. Every generation has a legend, every legend has a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, disgraced former Jedi and Force mystic Brian Silliman. Joining me, as always, is former Force-sensitive Assassin's Guild member turned droids rights activist Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And the man who lets us record on his starship, the smuggler with a not-so-secret heart of gold, Captain Matt Romano.
Never tell me the odds.
That's fucking embarrassing.
That's not great.
That's bad.
I hate to break it to you, Brendan, but that's a bad intro.
That
that's
embarrasses
such
me.
Such a cringy intro.
That's great. Ours is awful.
You think that's great?
We will let
that's
you great. Do that, then.
I will.
Yeah.
You go ahead,
personality.
Awful,
you guys
I want
bland
you to say,
bitches.
If that's what you're trying to go for, you did a terrible job today.
Well, I'm not going to fucking say ex-MMA fighter who fucking won a world belt. No.
Why not? You love it. That's your thing.
Yeah. That is your thing.
You can do more with the Star Wars than acting like an ex-MMA fighter. Star Wars is the fictional thing. MMA is not fictional. It's real life. People get punched in the fucking face.
Depends who you ask.
But to be fair, it was a long time ago in the galaxy far, far away.
What was that?
I don't know.
I mean, what, I mean that just shows there? It could be a real thing.
Oh. All right, let's move on.
All right.
So like I said, title fight announcements out the ass. Not a title fight, but a big fight. Officially announced. Take it for what it's worth still, I guess. January 18th, Conor McGregor, Cowboy Cerrone. It's official. We've assumed it's happening for a while. It's been talked about for even longer. But it's finally on paper and official and announced. January 18th, Cowboy versus Conor. How do we feel?
Connor announced that Connor's going to put it into fruition. Connor's going to win. It's going to happen. Even though this is true, Connor saying that has been saying that he's going to fight on this specific date, I believe. Right? Correct?
Yep.
But I don't think he's right in saying that he'll fight three times, but that's a whole other topic that we'll probably discuss a little bit later. Either way, hell yeah, I think it's going to happen. I don't think either one of them are going to pull, unlike Buju, but it's happening. It's going to happen. It will happen. It's going to happen.
Okay, we get it. You believe that it will happen. I'm also in that boat. It is going to happen when it was rumored that he was going to fight on that day. We brought that up on the podcast. Buju was not convinced. How do you feel about it?
It hasn't happened yet, A. I do think it's going to happen at this point. Like, it's officially announced. I just didn't think Connor would sign on to fight in January. That's the only reason I didn't think it would happen.
Why?
Because he hasn't fought in fucking 7 years. So why would I believe that he was going to fight in January?
Why not January?
Too soon.
Did you not think he was going to fight? What do you mean too soon? It's been years, according... 7 years,
too soon from when he was talking about it. You fucking idiot. Pay attention.
I don't know. I think that when it was rumored that that was the date, I knew that he was going to fight someone. I figured it was going to be Cowboy, and I'm very happy that it is.
Connor wins. Like, I hope Cowboy wins. I want Cowboy to win. But by the time this fight rolls around, depending what the odds show, I'm going to put big money on Connor McGregor because I think he walks through Cowboy.
Yeah, he definitely TKOs him no later than 3 rounds.
Is it
a main event?
We don't know for sure, but I would assume it would be.
Yeah, because that's the only fight that I know of that's announced for that card.
Well, we'll find out some more in a little bit then, I guess.
Oh, cool. What was I going to say?
Well, you think about...
I also think that Conor McGregor is going to win probably by knockout and...
Knockout?
Yes, knockout. Knockout, TKO, it's all the same. It's finished by strikes.
I think it's specifically going to be a TKO.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to actually get a knockout. Fair. Because even if you knock a guy out cold, a ref sometimes just doesn't step in.
Fair enough.
I think that the most interesting part about this is the fact that it's at 170 pounds rather than 155.
I don't know why that matters to anybody. I don't like that doesn't matter to me at all.
No? Why not?
I don't know why people care about it. Like, it doesn't even register why people would care.
Because you were specifically all about Connor getting a warm-up fight. But how warm-up is it if it's in a whole nother weight class? It's a whole nother division.
I wanted him to get a warm-up fight before he's fighting fucking real fighters. I don't want him in the title picture at all. I never want Conor McGregor in the title picture again because he's not going to be active enough to be a champion. So I don't want him in the title picture.
This specific date being January obviously sets up for him actually fighting three times, whether he does it or not. He says he wants to. But him fighting the first month of the year sets it up for that to happen. But makes you question... Will he fight three times, and will he do it against Khabib at least one of those times for a belt? Because I feel like if you ultimately want to fight for a belt, why would you jump from a division to division? Because I feel like fighting at the division you're going to fight for a belt at later in the year, you want to fight in the same division to prepare for that.
But it doesn't – for Conor McGregor, it doesn't matter what division he's getting wins in. If he wins this fight, he's going to get a title shot no matter what division he wants it in, if he wants a title shot.
But I'm saying, I feel like for the ultimate preparation, you want to fight in the same division.
But do you want to cut weight 3 weeks before Christmas? 3 weeks after Christmas, I should say.
I'm not Conor McGregor. I'm not fucking.
But I'm just saying, title. Like, he doesn't want to cut to 155, so he's not cutting to 155. That's why it's at 170. Both have had fights at 170. Both are true 155ers, so I don't know why it matters to anybody it's at 170.
It just makes me question how much he really wants the title or not.
I don't think he wants it.
I think he did. I thought he did.
I think he wants to beat Khabib. I don't think he cares about the belt.
Yeah, I do agree with that 100%. I don't think he cares about the belt. I think he wants to beat Khabib. But I think that the interesting part of the 170 thing is that he beats Cowboy in the fashion that I think he will. It sets up a... mega showdown to see if he's going to get baptized against Jorge Masvidal in the summer.
The only thing that, like, I even consider when it's being talked about being at 170 is I think it gives Cowboy a little bit, it leans it in Cowboy's favor a little bit, but I don't think it's nearly enough because Conor McGregor is the exact fighter that Cowboy has problems with, and this is the exact type of fight that Cowboy always loses.
It 100% leans in his favor. It's the same thing with Diaz. If Diaz was at 155, I think Conor wins both those fights decisively rather than jumping up weight. I feel like it benefits the other fighter.
I just especially because like
their length matches it helps that weight.
Cowboy, because of the issues he has with taking body shots, and being at 170, I think, cushions that a little bit, no pun intended. And I just feel like it's better for Cowboy if he's not cutting weight, as susceptible as he is to being finished these days.
I don't think that it'll matter, because I was watching something about what Chael Sonnen thought about the announcement and everything like that. He thinks that Conor McGregor has diminished his powers, lessened at 170 compared to 155, because his only two welterweight fights that I know of, at least, have been against Nate Diaz. I don't think he puts him away either way. I mean, Jorge Masvidal couldn't put him away. And so I don't think that Conor's strength or powers diminished at all at 170 compared to 155. And so I think that was a dumb point that he made. But he also thinks that he's going to fight Jorge next.
He did. But even if it's not diminished, we don't know if it's on the same par, same level as it is at 155.
If it isn't, that means it's diminished.
Or 145.
And I think that it's going to not matter. He's going to knock him out. I think he has the exact same power, if not more.
But Brennan, what Brennan is saying is we just don't know if his power changes from 155 or 145 to 170 because Nate doesn't get knocked out anyway. So we haven't seen a true test of his strength at 170, I guess. He did drop Nate like fucking seven times, it felt like, in the rematch. So.
He also, I feel like, hurt him in the first one, too.
I don't remember. If this fight goes to a decision, though, who's getting their hand raised?
Conor McGregor.
What?
Yes.
It's more likely if it's a decision that Cowboy does.
I think Cowboy wins a decision 100% of the time.
I disagree.
Especially if it's five rounds.
I disagree. I understand how that would be seen as a hot take, but if Conor can win enough rounds to beat Nate Diaz in a five-round war, he could 100% do it against Cowboy.
You think Nate Diaz is a better fighter than Cowboy?
No.
Yeah. He's, right now, yeah.
I'm
without a doubt.
I'm struggling to
find your logic, but
Nate Diaz can go five rounds much more so than Cowboy can.
I don't feel like we've seen Cowboy go five rounds in a long time, right?
And we haven't seen him done well in a big performance either. It's or true. A big fight, so Nate Diaz, I feel like lives up to the hype. I don't think the bright lights affects him at all.
No, if anything, I agree with that.
Brightens him up.
Yeah, I agree. But Cowboy, I don't think he's as good of a fighter right now as Nate Diaz.
I feel like that's a hot take.
I don't think so, man.
But I feel like it's...
I mean, didn't they even fight a while ago and Nate pieced him up?
That was forever ago. We're talking about right now.
Even then, I think that Nate Diaz is better than Cowboy.
At 170. If they would fight
10 times... At 170, definitely.
But I think at Diaz at 155, I don't know why this is in my head, but I feel like he's not even close to the same as fighter. Like, Conor beats him decisively, like I said earlier.
I just don't feel like we have any proof to support your claims that Nate Diaz is definitely better than Cowboy.
I mean, he literally beat him up in a fight.
I'm talking about right now.
I know. I'm just saying, if you want to know who's better, they actually fought. They actually determined who was better.
So Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz are even.
You can look at the Jorge Masvidal Donald Cerrone fight. That was a lot uglier than the Diaz one.
Nate is bigger than Cowboy, but
who cares?
What a fucker! Did you see that reaction that he just had? What the fuck was that?
I just gave you two concrete examples, and you're trying to
With your logic, Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz are even then because they both beat each other.
I mean, you can say that. That's a close matchup.
I don't know. That's crazy logic on your part.
I don't understand how you can say that he's not. How is Donald Cerrone better than Nate Diaz right now? Who has he beat recently that's better?
Who's he beat recently that's better?
Who's he even beaten recently?
He's only lost to fucking Leon Edwards and Jorge, I feel like.
He's coming off of... No, he just beat Alexander Hernandez, right? Or did he lose since then?
He whooped Alexander Hernandez's ass. That wasn't his last fight, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's coming off of a loss.
No, I don't think he is.
I'm pulling it up.
I'm pretty sure that that is what
I feel like it was. He's coming off a loss today. His only two losses are his last two, but since November of 2018 are Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje. He's got wins over Ally Quinta, Alexander Hernandez, and Mike Perry since his last loss before that. His losses are to Jorge Masvidal, Robbie Lawler, Darren Till, Leon Edwards, Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje. That's a fucking murderer's row. I feel like Nate Diaz loses.
But his wins in that same stretch, going to back to Jorge Masvidal since then, Matt Brown, Yancy Medeiros, Mike Perry, Alexander Hernandez, Ally Aquinta, those aren't, that isn't a murderous row.
Does Nate Diaz beat Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson, Leon Edwards, Robbie Lawler, Jorge Masvidal, or Darren Till? No.
Maybe.
No.
Even if he doesn't, that still doesn't mean he's better. They literally fought.
I'm talking about right now. You're talking about exactly. I will tell you the exact fucking date you're talking about.
And then they also both fought Jorge Masvidal.
I'm not talking about fucking December 30th, 2011. I'm talking about December 2nd, 2019.
Jorge Masvidal fought Donald Cerrone like 2 years, almost 3 years ago. And he whooped him. And I would say that Masvidal is better now than he was then. And it was a more competitive fight against Nate, although he was decisively beating him.
I don't know if it was that competitive.
It was more competitive than this Cowboy fight. I remember that. That was bad.
I still don't see where you're finding evidence that Nate Diaz is definitely better than Cowboy Cerrone right now.
I don't understand how you think he might be worse. Like, legitimately. Where? How? Explain. You haven't given
At best, the evidence shows they're even. At best for you.
I don't understand how the evidence shows that they're even.
Nate Diaz, in the time that Cerrone has been active, since Nate returned, he's lost to Jorge Masvidal. Before that, his last fight was a loss to Conor McGregor. He's basically only fought three times in that period that I just brought up for Cowboy.
Less. I mean, so you're going to bring activity into how active a fighter is into a discussion of how good they are?
He's 1-2. And he lost to the guy that he beat.
And he lost to two of the better fighters in the UFC? I don't think that
Cowboy lost to fucking five of the better fighters in the UFC.
And he's going to lose to Conor McGregor. So then did Nate Diaz. Be another one of them.
So did Nate Diaz.
Exactly. He also beat Conor McGregor. I don't think Cowboy's going to beat him.
Fucking give him a rematch. Maybe he does.
Nah.
Maybe if Cowboy had a fucking year and a half off between fights.
Some silly juice.
I still don't get where your argument's coming from, so I feel like I win.
I mean, you can feel that way, but you're actually not winning. Buddy.
Anyways, Bryce is wrong, but
whatever. Dummy.
Cerrone versus McGregor is January 18th. Now I really hope Cowboy wins. I hope he fucking dominates this fucking leprechaun fuck, and I fucking punch you in the face right after it's over. As soon as Cowboy gets his hand raised, I'm punching you square in the teeth.
Oh, shit.
That's not very nice of you.
I'm going to, so fucking be prepared. Anyways, the other fight that was announced was the title fight. Khabib versus Tony Ferguson for April. This one, I don't even know how you get excited for it until they're in the cage. This is attempt number five.
4 months. That's way too long for something to happen. There's a lot of media conferences, a lot of cords Tony Ferguson can trip over.
Social media 100% disagrees with me, but I'm way more excited about Conor's fight than Khabib's fight.
It's just, for one, I believe it's going to happen more. For two, it's way sooner. It's like fucking 6 weeks away or something. Five weeks away. We just have to get to Khabib versus Tony before I'm even considering being excited about it.
Yeah. And also, just knowing how less close of a competition this is than I thought it was a year or two ago kind of diminishes it, the level of excitement that I had for this fight compared to what I do now.
The excitement for Khabib versus Tony is that it's finally happening. It's not that I think it's a super close fight anymore. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, kind of like I would, to a much lesser degree, like a Pacquiao-Mayweather bout.
Because before,
I think the sell was we don't know who's better between these two. And maybe we're wrong, but I feel like everybody on this show feels like we definitely know who's better now.
Yes.
1,000%.
So, yeah, because Khabib just didn't fight enough or fight decent enough guys to show how good he actually is. Since then, I mean, he's murdered some dudes.
Facts. Yeah, since then, he's beat Conor McGregor and also beat Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, and Tony Ferguson should have lost to Anthony Pettis.
Exactly.
People forget that.
But we all forget MMA math doesn't add up, so hopefully.
It doesn't, but man, it sure does not. If my calculations are right, it's not looking very good for Mr. Ferguson.
My eyeballs say this fight is not close.
And the biggest reason for that is I'm not even going to go with like skill, because I definitely do think Ferguson is far less skilled than Khabib, but I think strength is what dominates the fight, because he fucking outmuscled, but I don't know how to say this without cussing so much, but he outmuscled Conor McGregor by a lot, and I think Conor's stronger. Even though it's harder to say because Conor's less skilled on the ground, I don't know.
I don't even know if I would say that Tony is less skilled than
I think Khabib. He might be more skilled. Yeah, I think what he does is a lot more technical than what Khabib does.
That's how
he just has raw power. It's much more technical,
and
without
even
a doubt.
Even striking, I think he's better. But yes. Khabib's strength just negates that because Tony's not going to be able to do anything.
Yes, he's a 155-pound bear.
So. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Tony wins. I want to see Khabib lose more than anybody, but it just doesn't feel like it's going to happen against Tony or anybody.
Mm-hmm. The ground game might be even as skill-wise because Khabib's probably a better wrestler, but also Tony's a better
submission jiu-jitsu artist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tony is more liable to finish you with his grappling. Khabib uses his grappling to neutralize you and pound your fucking dome piece in.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just not a lot to talk about this fight, because even as big as it is, as long as we've wanted it, as many times as we've tried to make it happen, it's just we have to get there before we get excited, and it's not as exciting as it once was.
I agree.
It's going to be extremely disappointing when Khabib wins, because you're like, this is almost like the last shot for somebody to beat him, and then it doesn't happen. I don't want him to retire as one of the GOATs. I definitely don't want him to retire undefeated, so I'm almost praying for his downfall, which is pretty messed up.
Honestly, though, he's probably already one of the greatest fighters of all time.
Is he top five?
Just by the way he's dominated the few top guys he's fought.
Is he top five?
And the fact that he's undefeated. He might be. I don't know. I'd have to really give it some thought, but...
Yeah.
Yes.
If he wins his fight, yes.
Yeah. If you were setting the odds, how big of a favorite is Khabib?
-325.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I was saying 250, but okay.
That's all the same ballpark.
But yeah.
You guys are better with odds than me, so I can't even.
I mean, that's a pretty big difference for a long-anticipated title fight, especially between...
I mean, when it was like a few iterations ago or a few bookings ago of this, I probably would have said it should be like even.
Or Tony, like -160 even.
Yeah, because at a point, he was just murking guy after guy on this incredible run. And he hasn't lost, but he just hasn't looked nearly as good as Khabib.
And I don't think it's impossible that Tony can get a win here. It just seems highly, highly unlikely.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Some more fight announcements. One very relevant to this show. Anthony Pettis is fighting Diego Fajeda. That's on the January 18th Conor McGregor Cowboy card.
I didn't realize that was then.
Mm-hmm. That's on the Conor card?
Yeah.
It's going to be an emotional night for your boys.
Yeah, because Joanna Jędrzejczyk is also on that card, I believe.
No,
she's 248.
She's in March.
Yeah, I have another one that's on that same card, though. But yeah, Pettis versus Diego Fajeda. It's just not a marquee matchup for Pettis, but every fight's a big fight because he's got to win them.
Yeah, that's the thing about this fight. It's definitely not intriguing. It doesn't catch my eye. It's not a big name or anything like kind of hoping for, because that's also what he says he's looking for. He wants a name that just like that attracts him. Otherwise, he won't fight him. So I don't know what attracted him to this fighter. He's undefeated or something. He's a prospect. He's good.
He's a good fighter.
Was it Pettis' camp or Cowboy's camp that turned down a Pettis versus Cowboy matchup?
Oh. If I had to guess, I would say, because I don't know, I can't remember off the top of my head, I would have to say that it was Cowboys, because...
So maybe Pettis was just planning on that fight, and it didn't happen, so this is what he ended up with.
That could be a thing, because if I'm Cowboy, if there's a chance that I fight Conor McGregor and make 10 times more money than I would otherwise, mm-hmm. that's what I do. I wait out.
But Fajita 16-2, his best wins are against Olivier Aubin-Mercier and Rustam Khabilov, which are not very exciting wins. And his losses, the only two losses of his career are Dustin Poirier and Benil Dariush. The Poirier one, very excusable. Dariush, not as much.
Nah, yeah, not as much. Not if you're going to be a force in the division. I think the matchup is just confusing to me, because I think all three of us have discussed that we don't see Anthony Pettis fighting for a belt. Probably not. Correct?
Correct.
He's kind of on like the Conor mission, just big name fights. It's just less of...
Exactly right. A bigger, just a name. He can bounce between 55 and 70, fight the best in those two divisions. But Diego Fajita doesn't really fit that profile. He's like probably a top 15 guy, maybe even top 10 at lightweight. But he just recently knocked out in April of this year. He knocked out number three or... At the time, I think, in welterweight and Stephen Thompson, yeah, he lost to Nate Diaz, but I just feel like he should be able to get a bigger name than this.
It just feels like this had to be a backup plan of some sort.
Mm-hmm. I'm also disappointed they didn't do the RDA thing.
Yeah, and also with this fight, there's so much to lose and not much at all to gain. So
Pettis kind of has to go out there and have a really impressive finish, a really dominant performance for him to gain anything off of this fight. And even if it's a close decision that he wins, that kind of looks bad on him just because of the name. Fajita, if you look at his resume, he has a pretty even... It's a lot of decisions, a lot of submissions, a lot of TKO knockouts. So he seems like a very well-rounded fighter, but Pettis, as a former champion, should be better in most categories, I'd feel like, because he's a very good striker, he's a very good kickboxer. Black belt in jiu-jitsu, leads the UFC all-time and finishes from the bottom. It's kind of one, like, even if it's not when he should win, it's when he has to win for Anthony Pettis.
Yep.
Let me see if there's odds for this fight.
It's one of those fights that if he loses is extremely disappointing compared to Nate Diaz. I mean, I definitely was disappointed by the Nate Diaz loss, but losing to a lesser name is obviously more disappointing than a bigger name. And also, maybe if he knocks him out or finishes him some way, then I feel like the fight was worth it. It's just another... like, get Anthony Pettis back situation, just getting a finish back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. You mean what I mean? But yeah.
Jumping back to Khabib and Tony for a second. Khabib's minus 230 favorite, Ferguson minus 190, or plus 190. For comparison, John Jones is minus 470 against Dominic Reyes. Conor McGregor minus 230 against Cowboy. But, yeah, I've said it already. Anthony Pettis just has to win this one.
Hopefully it's by a finish. Just so it's more satisfactory.
Maybe he just wanted on the Conor card and he would take any fight he could get, because getting a nice big win, or a nice impressive win, I should say, on a card that Conor McGregor's fighting on helps your career, period, no matter who it's against.
That's facts.
So maybe that was the logic as well.
Also, fun fact, since I'm just on bestfightodds.com, CM Punk is a minus 225 favorite over Logan Paul plus 175. That's wild.
That seems like a lot.
It does.
Yeah, that seems like a whole lot. There's a big size difference there.
I mean, maybe. Because, I mean, he weighed in at, what, 190-something? I don't think they cut weight for that fight.
And then he weighed in at 200-something. They weighed in at 190-something for the first one when they did cut weight.
I thought they weighed in for this one at 190-something. I might be wrong.
I could be wrong, too. But then also on that card, Holly Holm versus Raquel Pennington in a rematch. Who cares? Why are we doing this? Who cares who wins? Doesn't have any effect on any fucking division. If Holly Holm wins, she'll probably get a fucking title shot again somehow. This is just a fight that's happening.
Yeah, nobody cares at all.
I also heard Valentina Shevchenko's fighting on that card, but I haven't seen anything official about that, so I don't know.
I mean, we talked about it last week.
Did we? That Shevchenko's fighting on the January card?
I just know that she's fighting Caitlin Chookagian.
Oh, I heard that it's on that card. That doesn't seem correct.
I feel like it shouldn't be.
I don't know. Whatever. Holly Holm versus Raquel Pennington's happening again. Nobody cares. If a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a noise?
It does.
But does it?
It does.
How do you know?
because a falling object makes noises. It just happens.
But do you know for sure?
100%. Why does my our level seem...
Because we're talking really low.
This is how I talk sometimes, though.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, this is part of the problem with setting your levels. You test at a much higher than you normally talk at.
Or much lower than you normally talk at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then another fight announcement was... Never mind, that's it. That's all of them.
That's all of them.
But another thing that we wanted to touch on, or Bryce wanted to touch on, Brendan wanted to touch on, whatever. Jorge Masvidal said he was interested in a fight with GSP, or GSP wants to fight with Jorge Masvidal.
Something what?
You sent it in the group chat.
No, I definitely didn't.
You definitely did.
I definitely said, when was this?
Would love to see this.
Ibrahim Kawa.
Would love to see this. GSP is looking for a winnable fight against a non-striker that increases his stock value. Jorge presents plenty of problems for him.
But
yeah, that was his agent.
Okay.
But I read that as, why would GSP want to fight him?
What?
Why would GSP want to fight Masvidal if he's not
looking for a non-striker?
Because Masvidal's like the fifth biggest name in the UFC right now.
But that goes against what he's looking for.
He's looking for a non-striker. Or unless Jorge's looking for a non-striker to boost his value.
I think GSP is looking for a winnable fight against a non-striker that increases his stock value. Jorge presents plenty of problems for him. Yeah, I get what you're saying now, Brendan, now that I read it again. Because the original tweet that was quote tweeted says, this is going to be tough to read. How about the biggest of the fights for 2020, George St. Pierre versus Jorge Masvidal? Will this take the title of titles? Can Ibrahim Kawa think outside the box and give this to Dana White, 155, 170 anyway?
So the retweet is just basically just refuting the article.
Somebody wanting the fight to happen.
It's his agent saying it.
His agent quote tweeted that tweet.
Yeah.
He's saying GSP is looking for a winnable fight, and he doesn't believe Jorge is a winnable fight for GSP. That's what Kawa is saying.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
More understandable.
It's a dumb way that he worded this.
Yes,
yeah, I agree. Both tweets are worded very poorly. I thought it was a different thing going into this.
Uh-huh.
I think
the way that I read it is there should be a period somewhere. I think Jorge should be the one looking for a win against a non-striker to increase his stock value. Because that's what GSP is. Because I would say that he's more of a grappler than Jorge. Jorge is a striker. So why would GSP be looking?
I don't know. It doesn't fucking matter.
I see where you're going.
What do you guys think of that matchup?
I think that's Jorge Masvidal to talk about. 2020 Jorge Masvidal beats George St. Pierre.
You think so?
Yeah.
I disagree.
I thought Michael Bisping would beat GSP in fucking 2015 or whatever the fuck that was. So maybe my opinion is just invalid, but GSP...
Could that really have been that long ago?
I think so. 2016 soonest.
Our first podcast was GSP Bisping.
Yeah, so 2 years. 2017 then.
Okay, that makes me feel so much better.
But yeah, Jorge Masvidal is a very good all-around fighter. And GSP's an incredible wrestler. Maybe he just takes him down and holds him there like he did the back half of his career. But the game just keeps changing. GSP just keeps getting older. So
I agree. I think that if he comes back at all, it's going to be tough. I don't know if I would pick him unless it's against a very middle-of-the-road fighter I would say Michael Bisping was. Because I thought he was, without a doubt, the weakest champion on the roster at that point probably. You might disagree, but I did not. He shouldn't have. I don't think he even won the Anderson Silva fight leading up to that.
Crazy. You're crazy.
I don't think he did. He should have knocked him out, but then I don't think he even won the fight.
You're crazy.
Got a lucky strike against Luke Rockhold, whose chin has never been the same since.
Get the fuck out of here, lucky strike, Conor McGregor fan. What the fuck are you talking about?
I didn't say that it wasn't a lucky strike, but...
Lucky strike. Fuck you, dude.
Bisping was not the greatest champion.
He wasn't the greatest champion.
He was a weak champion. Dan Henderson ducking all the legitimate contenders.
Calling him middle of the road when he was the champion is just a crazy take for me.
As far as champions go, that's as middle of the road as it gets. He was not a very good champion, skill-wise.
I think you guys are underrating GSP's capability to fight in a newer age. He did it once.
I was wrong once already, for sure.
I think he beats Masvidal. I think he would beat Khabib.
But this would be 3 years later.
Do you think he beats Khabib at 155 if he gets down there?
Ooh, I don't know what 155.
No one does. That's the thing. Like, if they fight at 155, how do you think that fight goes next year?
Assuming that he would be healthy at that weight, I'd go GSP.
Khabib beats GSP at either weight, without question.
Yeah. If GSP can fight at a big 170 like he did most of his career, I think the size would, you could potentially outgrapple him.
If we're doing a GSP fight in the year of our Lord 2020, it's got to be Anderson Silva. I know it's way past due. Anderson Silva is very over the hill. George St. Pierre, we don't really know, but it's a fight that was should have happened in fucking 2011. Let's just make it right and make it happen now. If it's on the table, let's just do it.
Anderson Silva does not want that smoke.
No, Anderson Silva would get his fucking... He'd get embarrassed by GSP in 2020.
He would lose at every phase.
I think he would have gotten embarrassed if they would have fought then.
Yeah, I think GSP would have won that fight then too. But I'm just saying now, it's not even a question to me.
I feel.
So yeah. Would you, if GSP were to come back, who do you match him up with? Realistically,
like,
well, I guess it could be Khabib.
I think his only three options are Conor McGregor, Jorge Masvidal, and Khabib. I don't think that Anderson is really an option. But I think it's one of those three that I said.
Let's do John Jones. Let's get crazy.
Let's get really crazy. GSP versus John Jones. Don't test GSP and see what happens.
Alrighty. And then I guess we get into picks because that's it for news or discussion, wow. MMA discussion.
We kind of flew through that.
The first 20 minutes was like Conor and McGregor and everything else we kind of breezed through. So finally making picks again for the first time, what feels like forever. This was supposed to be Alistair Overeem versus Walt Harris, but obviously, as everybody knows, Walt Harris had family issues to deal with. Terrible situation he's going through. Obviously wasn't going to fight on this card. And for the better for him. But we're picking the entire main card. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fights headlined by Alistair Overeem. And now, Jarzinho Rozenstruik, who's coming off of the knockout, very fast knockout win over Andrei Arlovsky. First fight we're picking, Cody Stammen as a +155 underdog to Song Yadong, the -190 favorite. I mean, how do you say Song Yadong without at least mentioning that his name is Song Yadong?
Or, as it shows on Tapology, it's Yadong Song. I think that might even be better.
Yeah,
Yadong Song. Because it's a song about Yadong.
How come fighters of Asian descent, sometimes their names are...
I think, like, it's only flip-flopped in China.
I don't know. It's weird. But I'm picking Song Yadong here. I just think he's a more impressive fighter. Never seen anything from Cody Stammen that really jumped out to me. And Song Yadong has some nice finishes, some nice wins in the UFC. So I'm picking Song.
Give me S-Y, Psy, Song Yadong. He's the favorite. And just looking at his history, he seems like he's well-rounded. He has wins by decision, wins by knockout, and also wins by submission. So I just feel like he has a well-rounded game. Just looking at that briefly and saying that, I have him.
All right. So I have Cody Stammen. I don't have a great methodology behind this. Song Yadong is only like 22, whereas Stamen's 30, so he should be in his hypothetical peak. I think he's just been around and he's fought some better guys than Song has up to this point, just looking at the names when I looked at them earlier. I just think that this will be a bump in the road for what's going to be probably a very promising UFC career, but I think Stamen gets it done in DC.
Aspen Ladd is a -160 favorite against former featherweight title challenger Yana Kunitskaya, the +130 underdog. Aspen Ladd in her last fight was finished in seconds. So needs a bounce back win here. And while Yana Kunitskaya has championship experience, if that's what you want to call it, and she fought at the top level in Invicta, I just don't know that she's necessarily on the UFC level. And while Aspen Ladd, obviously in her last fight, looked very bad, I do think she is a UFC fighter. So I think Aspen Ladd is just a better fighter and gets a win here.
I have Aspen Ladd. She's a promising prospect despite her getting her teeth knocked in by Jermaine Duranamine. We don't like Jermaine Duranamine, so We're just gonna blow by that. But like I said, I feel like she's a good prospect. She has better days coming ahead, such as this fight, and she wins.
Aspilad is gonna win, and we can move on.
Stefan Struve +115 underdog to Ben Rothwell, the -145 favorite. I don't agree with the odds on this one. I don't. What have we seen from Ben Rothwell lately that says he's that much better than Stefan Struve? A -145 favorite. Granted, those aren't huge odds or anything, but I feel like it's been a long time since we've seen something nice out of Ben Rothwell. It was probably against Alistair Overeem fucking 4 years ago.
At least, yeah. It was a long time ago since Ben Rothwell's done anything of note.
Not that Stefan Struve's a fucking world beater either, but I don't know. This fight is going to be a very sloppy UFC heavyweight fight. Not one I would be looking forward to in any way. And I'm going to pick Stefan Struve as the underdog to upset, for some reason, Ben Rothwell here.
I'm going to pick Ben Rothwell. This is less on the odds, even though I did lean towards a favorite, just because I don't know where they are against each other in this age of their careers. But I'm not a big fan of Stefan Struve, so I want him to lose. So that's one reason I picked Ben Rothwell. But this is just a terrible fight. Ben Rothwell has 3 losses in a row, even though it is against better competition than Struve. And Struve is like 1-4. In his last 5 fights, so they're both awful. It's an awful fight. I don't care about it.
It's such an inconsequential heavyweight fight.
Yeah. I don't understand why the UFC books a fight like this, because neither of these guys are going to go anywhere in this division.
Nobody has anything to gain in this fight.
At all. But since we do have to pick it, I'm going to go with Ben Rothwell here. I just think that Stefan Struve stinks. Ben Rothwell also sucks. He lost to Andrei Arlovsky this year, but Andrei Arlovsky has been picking up a couple dubs this year. So, I mean, it might be a bit more forgivable than 2018 Andrei Arlovsky, as weird as that sounds. I just think that, it's like you said, it's going to be a stupid, sloppy fight. And after this main event pick, I do want to ask you guys a question.
The co-main event of the evening is Marina Rodriguez, who is a -135 favorite, against Cynthia Calvillo, the +105 underdog. Another one where I don't understand the odds here. Granted, Calvillo has had some less than stellar performances, I guess you could say, but based on experience and everything else, it just feels like Calvillo should win this fight despite being an underdog, and I'm going to say she does.
I have Marina Rodriguez. She has no losses. She's coming off a forgivable loss in Tisha Torres.
Wait, she has no losses, but she's coming off a forgivable loss?
Wait, coming off a win against Tisha Torres.
I was about to say, okay.
Ignore what I said. She's coming off a good win against Tisha Torres in my eyes, rather than, who's the other girl again?
Calvillo.
Calvillo's coming off a win against like an 8-7, or it's right around there, in Courtney Casey. Less impressive opponent. So in saying that, I'm going with the girl, Marina.
I don't know if I've ever seen Marina Rodriguez fight. I've seen Cynthia Calvillo, and she looked good at the beginning because it was one of her first few MMA fights, and it was the promise of getting better, but she hasn't really seemed to get any better since then. And so I just assume, going by the odds, that Marina Rodriguez is better than her right now. And that's how I'm going to pick. So I'm going to go with Rodriguez here.
I get Cynthia Calvillo mixed up with Alexa Grasso.
I don't.
Alexa Grasso's the Mexican girl, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
Calvillo is born in San Jose, but is Mexican.
I didn't even know she was Mexican. I just get those two mixed up. I don't know if something about the names or what. I get them mixed up. The main event of the evening, Alistair Overeem is a -120 favorite. I've been talking on the wrong side of the mic this whole time. Against Jarzinho Rosenstrick. He's even. He's at even odds in this fight. These are close odds considering Rosenstrick is taking this on short notice. He is coming off of, as I said earlier, a very quick knockout of Andrei Arlovsky. And Overeem. Overeem is the ultimate fucking roller coaster heavyweight. Gets a big win, gets an ugly loss. Big win, ugly loss. I think this is an ugly loss for the Ream. I think he gets knocked out by Rosenstrick. I think Rosenstrick does the same thing he did against Andrei Arlovsky. Might take a little bit more time, but I think it's a first-round knockout win for Rosenstrick. I think he's a very promising prospect at heavyweight, which is a rare feat in the UFC these days, and I feel like he's one of them. We're going to see some things from Rosenstrick in his career.
Hopefully. Otherwise, you're going to look very dumb next week.
I'm going to go with Alistair just for the experience factor. He's been in these fights. I never heard of the other dude before, so I know this guy, so I'm going to stick with him. Give me Alistair, even though this is not a great fight either, even though it's a main event.
Yeah. And, like, not to fucking say anything bad against Walt Harris right now with the situation he's in, but even Overeem versus Walt Harris is not a great ESPN main event.
No, that's actually bad. And the whole main card should be much better, top to bottom. If you're going to put on a decent card, you need to do it on ESPN. Almost, is at this point, I would say it's just as important as a good pay-per-view card. Although the levels of good is different for like a free TV card than a pay-per-view, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I have like an 8-win lead over Buju, and we have 3 different fights, so this could be really big.
Good.
Oh, and there's a couple pay-per-view, or is there only 1 pay-per-view left this year?
There's 2 cards, 1 pay-per-view.
Okay. That pay-per-view, though, I know we're probably going to pick a lot, so stay tuned. Maybe the picks will come down to the wire. But as they have, I'm going to go with Alistair Overeem here. I think that at the moment, he's just, I mean, he's been there, done that. Like Buju said, it's a roller coaster of impressive wins, horrible losses. But I think that he just gets the job done. I don't think it's going to be a very good fight, though.
Does Rozenstruik have anything to lose here? Does a loss to Overeem set him back a significant amount?
No, not at all.
I don't think so either.
Most short notice guys don't have much to lose.
And he's so new that he doesn't even really have a lot of hype behind him. Like, I feel like I'm the only one saying this guy is a legit prospect.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've slowly become more plugged into MMA Twitter. At least people that are somewhat respectable and have knowledgeable takes. And I haven't heard anything about him.
And even Overeem, while he's not at the peak of his career or anything, still a very forgivable loss at heavyweight, I feel like.
Yes, for sure.
So, what did you want to bring up after the main event pick?
What is your guys' favorite division to watch? If you had to sit down and watch a fight, and you'd know nothing about the people that are going to fight, but only the division, what division would make you most interested?
Heavyweight. Just on the division alone.
Lightweight.
That's the obvious answer to me, but lightweight's such a big division that there's so many people at lightweight I've never even fucking heard of.
Mm-hmm. And so you think heavyweight because you're more likely to know the people, or?
That, yes, because it's a smaller division, but I feel like you're more prone to a finish at, well, then again.
You're also more prone to sloppiness.
There's nothing worse than a bad heavyweight fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, that's why I thought about it, because I think the last division, or maybe not last, one of the last divisions I would pick is heavyweight for that reason. Like, there is absolutely nothing worse than a bad heavyweight fight. And they book awful ones like Stefan Struve against Ben Rothwell a bit too often for my liking.
I guess it would be probably lightweight.
I would say probably lightweight or, like, middleweight.
Another fight that just got announced, Bryce just sent to the group chat. Potential number one contender bout between Corey Anderson and Jan Blachowicz at 205 pounds.
It's interesting to me.
What?
Is it? Fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's a number one contender fight and everything. It's just we're to the point where a number one contender fight is happening between Corey Anderson and Jan Blachowicz.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty saddening, but the same. I'm only interested because I feel like it's a pretty close matchup.
I'm more interested in Blachowicz versus Jones than I am Anderson versus Jones.
Why?
I feel
is
like
there a reason?
Blachowicz, A, is a striker. I feel like that's just more intriguing in a fight against Jones.
Is he?
Anderson just doesn't fucking interest me.
No, he doesn't. I was legitimately blown away. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago when the Reyes fight was announced.
Yeah.
That he had people, that there were people on Twitter campaigning for Corey Anderson to get the fight. I didn't know he had stands. Looking I really them, didn't. It was crazy to me to think.
Looking for them retweets, son.
That
engagement.
I don't know. He got one. And it was... And he just does absolutely nothing for me.
Yeah, I agree. Corey Anderson doesn't interest me in the slightest. Blachowicz, I mean, doesn't fucking jump off the page either, but I think he's a little more interesting than Corey Anderson.
Just going through all of his fights, it's looking like he's more of a jiu-jitsu guy, more of a grappler. A lot of decisions, a lot of submissions.
Who, Błachowicz?
A few. Yeah. And just in these last three or these last two fights,
maybe I'm just
he started to strike.
Anyways, is that it for MMA talk?
Yeah.
I forgot to plug before we made our picks. Our picks. Picks are brought to you by Buju Bets, best college football gambler on Twitter, on the planet. Follow at Buju Bets on Twitter, Buju Bets on Facebook. 7-2 this last weekend. Nobody's giving that quality of picks for free. 7-2. Hit parlays 5 weeks in a row before that. Lost both of them this week because of the fucking two losses were the last two games of both fucking parlays. Nick Saban, you piece of shit. But yeah, Buju Bets on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, go follow him. And he's also Buju Bets on Facebook.
You want to do the MMA plugs before we get into post-MMA discussion?
Yep, let's do that. So if you like this, give us a shout on our various social media platforms. You can like, follow us on at Untitled MMA on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/UntitledMMA. You can find us there. Let us know what you think. You can leave us a like, comment, share, subscribe on any of the platforms you're listening to. And depending where you are listening, there's probably a whole lot of other places you can hear this. We are on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, a lot of different podcast platforms. I think we're also on, are we still on YouTube? Is that a thing?
We're going to be back on YouTube.
Okay, we're going to be back on YouTube. And that's also Untitled MMA. We're hoping to also get some smaller snippets and some other types of content coming to you in 2020. So stay tuned for that. We hope that you've enjoyed this process along with us as we are transitioning from the Blog Clash podcast to a multimedia conglomerate that will eventually be Untitled MMA.
Multimedia conglomerate. Hell yeah, brother.
I love
it. You guys don't like the Star Wars introduction, but he just said whatever the fuck he just said.
Multimedia conglomerate?
Instead of just saying just a podcast. Because it's essentially what we are now.
We're going to do more than just a podcast, though. That's multimedia.
What are we doing?
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I think that strengthens my argument.
Now we're going to do more. We're going to try and do more video stuff. We
have legitimately talked about things. You just haven't been involved in all of these discussions.
I know.
So I think that strengthens my argument. But it's not.
I don't see it happening often enough to just say it.
Multimedia conglomerate.
It's happening more often than the fucking blog was happening. I'll tell you that.
Shit. Yeah, that's facts.
I'm gonna stick with pod. That's what I'm gonna do.
Fuck you. Fuck anybody who says pod can catch these hands.
Yeah, Buju is a big hater of pod.
Why are your feet on
as
you wall?
Listen to Jabba the Pod.
Fuck your wall.
Fuck you. Look what you did.
That
Brennan just fucking put his feet on my wall and left a mark.
How's your feet that dirty right now?
He's got slides on. He's always got slides on.
Oh, that's true.
Anyways.
So let's hop into this post-MMA discussion. If you are leaving now, leave us a like, comment. What's something that we should ask them to see what they think?
So Brendan, just randomly, I guess, what compelled you to make a must-see movie list?
What's your favorite movies? Drop them in the comments below. Go ahead.
First, like last week, one of my professors in my digital applications class gave us his must-see movie list.
Were they trash?
I mean, they're probably legit, but they're trash to me because most of them are 70s, 80s, 90s.
Artsy-fartsy bullshit.
Like, I looked at a lot. Some of them are in like the top 100 movies. Like, I can't even name all of them, but he has like Gone with the Wind. He has Godfather.
Fuck you, dude.
He has all the older movies. So he's like,
the dude teaches digital applications in the college. He's probably an artsy-fartsy type of movie watcher. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. Different strokes for different folks, but that is not for
me. Like Gone with the Wind, Godfather, like the old like good movies, I guess.
So Brendan just randomly sends me his must-see movie list.
Was it big?
Ask me for his thoughts.
I have 18.
So you didn't narrow it down at all?
Oh, I haven't narrowed down.
Are you narrowing it down live, or that's just your list?
No, I haven't narrowed down in my head.
Okay. So, it was 18 movies originally. Some of them, I think, are fucking outrageous to have on there. And then there's other ones like, yeah, that makes sense. Me and him looked at it differently. My list I made is, these are the movies that I think anybody should at least try to watch once. A lot of these movies, I feel like, this may sound fucking dramatic, but can change your outlook on life in ways.
Yeah, I saw your. If some it's anything them. Like the list you sent us earlier, that's completely outrageous.
No, I don't think it is.
I have it more is. Movies that are Brendan, life effective than you.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, fucking Star Wars and okay, fucking.
Don't okay, give away okay, my okay, list, okay. You dumb fuck.
Okay.
This is the bit. You fucking retard. What are you doing?
Yeah, you, the fact that you just said that's crazy. But all right,
Fast and Furious.
That's not even on my must-see breakdown list.
It was.
You're fucking wild.
All right. Let me see yours again. Let's get into this.
Go, Bryce, because I'm mad now.
I don't have any of these ranked, so I'll go from the top to the bottom. I'm sure that there's going to be some repeats. My first thing that I put in was the original trilogy of Star Wars.
Yes, go ahead.
I was just going to leave it to you to explain and expand on it, because I guarantee it's still on yours.
Yes. Oh, you want me to do it now?
Yes, I just said I was going to leave it to you to explain and expand.
That's an awful take.
Me and Brennan just both recently watched the Empire Dreams documentary, which is on Disney Plus. If you're a Star Wars fan, I highly recommend Empire Dreams. If you're not a Star Wars fan, don't watch that. I don't know what you would fucking do that for. But, I just love Star Wars anyway. Like, I think it might be something you have to grow up on to love. I don't know if you can jump into a Star Wars movie at 30 years old and fall in love with it.
The newer ones, yeah.
Even then, I don't know. Like, just jumping into Star Wars, I feels like a lot. I don't know. That could just be me. But
you
I feel like
Star Wars your whole entire life, I thought.
I grew up on Star Wars, went away from it. And then when they came back, it was like, holy fuck, I forgot I love Star Wars. But yeah, Star Wars, just the watching that documentary, the vision behind it and how big Star Wars is while still only being 8 movies or whatever it is right now, or 8 movies in the saga, I guess, 10 movies. But just the grand scale of Star Wars, the everything that went into making it, and everything that goes into what the Star Wars galaxy is, to me, it's nothing matches Star Wars in my mind. The original trilogy especially. You don't have to go into the fucking prequels because the prequels are not good movies. The new movies are, I love the new movies. I like the prequels even. But I don't feel like they're essential viewing. Is that crazy to say? The new movies?
No, I mean, that's why I only included the original trilogy as a must-see. Like, if you only have a few days to live, you need to watch these movies.
I would
One
put
of them, you're probably going to call me stupid for looking at it, but
I would put Star Wars 4, 5, 6 in the against any movie ever, honestly.
I recommend all of them, but if I had to, which I did, narrow down, it's definitely just the original trilogy for a must-see, like you said, if it's like urgent or something. And just to go off what Buju said, it's mastermind, and the crazy thing is, like, another reason to recommend these specific ones is because these are the first three compared to now. The movies now, it's less...
It's more just movie-ized in a way. You know what I mean?
It's normal now. But doing what...
Yeah.
Doing what Lucas did in the 70s, he transformed film and television forever. He changed the game. Creating this whole new universe with what he did, with the resources he had, because he had limited resources, limited money... And made it into one of the greatest franchises ever. Yeah.
A great quote in Empire Dreams, and Bryce, I know you love Star Wars, so I think you would like the documentary if you watched it, but a great quote by somebody Lucas worked with was, the studios didn't know the world was changing, but Lucas did because he's the one who changed it. I mean, that sums up Star Wars to me.
That's very fair. What is the first thing that isn't Star Wars?
Do we want to go one for one then? Is that how we want to do it?
Yeah, just work our way down. Just don't include, if there's any overlaps, just mention it when it comes up.
I said Rocky 1 and 2. I think when it comes to sports movies, Rocky did the same for film as Star Wars did. This isn't going to be a fucking highly advanced, highly critical list from any of us, I wouldn't say. But yeah. I do feel like Rocky... I mean,
we literally referred to Gone to the Wind as artsy-fartsy.
It is artsy-fartsy trash. Get that fucking shit out of my face. But... Rocky 1 especially is another movie I'd put up against anything that's ever been made. I love the whole Rocky series, but 1 and 2 are the only ones that you really need to see, and it basically sums up what you need to see from Rocky. But
everything we just said about Star Wars, I feel maybe one step down from what I feel about Star Wars. It's just, it changed. It's the quintessential sports movie, Rocky is. The quintessential underdog story. And it's hard to say everything that I feel about Rocky because we just kind of said it all about Star Wars. But if you haven't seen Rocky 1 and 2, I think those are movies that you need to see.
I'm going to do Remember the Titans. I feel like it has one of the greatest actors of all time in Denzel Washington, one of my favorite actors of all time. And I have also listened to his motivational speeches at least once a week. So in saying that, they have great acting. I feel like the movie's well done. But the biggest thing that makes this movie onto it is obviously the storyline. It's about segregation and more towards the beginning, and it's about racial issues and racial injustice. And it just focuses on that throughout the whole movie. And I think football, I love football, so the sports adds to it. But obviously, so like I said, the outside factors such as football and Denzel Washington being in the movie makes me love it. But what makes it a must-see is highlighting racial issues and whatever, and uniting two races, which, if you know me, I love people that are different than
races.
Brendan loves uniting races.
It's a must-see.
Remember the Titans isn't on my list, but it would probably be just outside of it. For all the reasons Brendan just said, and it overachieves as a movie, I feel like. It's a Disney movie with kind of a very Hollywood storyline in a way, but I think it somehow overachieves in the category that it's in. Remember the Titans is all time, probably the best football movie of all time, I would argue. And then all of the social issues that Brendan brought up, it touches on very well, I feel like. Denzel Washington's great in it. The best fucking motivational sports speech of all time in a movie, I feel like. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Not really.
Oh, fuck. I don't want them to gain another yard. You'll blitz all night. If they cross the line of scrimmage one more time, I'll take every last one of you out. I want them to remember forever.
Oh.
The night they played the Titans.
Yeah.
I also have Remember the Titans on my list, so I was kind of surprised to hear it because I forgot the name of it.
I'm surprised you have Remember the Titans on your list.
I love this movie, man. It's great. For all the reasons that Brendan said, he did put it a lot more eloquently than I was going to, so I agree.
So do you want to go with another one or you want me to go?
Fuck. I'll let you go.
Die Hard. For all the reasons I said about Star Wars and all the reasons I said about Rocky, Die Hard is the action movie. It's changed action movies in the same way that Rocky changed sports and drama, and it changed film in the same way Star Wars changed it as a whole. Every action movie since Die Hard has tried to be Die Hard in a way, and none of them have ever been better than Die Hard. I also love Die Hard 2, but to say that's a fucking essential viewing is crazy town. Die Hard is amazing as that. Have you either of you ever seen the original Die Hard?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
been
a
long, long, long time.
I highly suggest rewatching it because it's so, so good. Bruce Willis is awesome in it before he stopped giving a fuck as an actor. Hans Gruber, I never remember his real name. He's dead as hell. He's also in Harry Potter. Fuck. But yeah, he's great in it as Hans Gruber. Die Hard is the action movie, and that's why it's on my must-see list.
My next one will be, I'm going to do Pursuit of Happiness. I feel like this is more.
Never seen this movie.
Whoa.
Pursuit of Happiness is very good.
I know. It's one of those movies that, in my case, if you don't see it like in school when there's a substitute teacher, when am I going to actually watch it until like I'm this age?
See, now I'm about to give a take on Pursuit of Happiness. It's going to make Brendan mad. I love it. I think it's a great movie. Will Smith is awesome in the movie. But at times, it's dramatic for the sake of being dramatic, and it's very much award bait for Will Smith. That being said, still turns into a great movie. It'll make me cry 100 times out of 100. But that would be my only complaint about Pursuit of Happiness.
Similar to what I said with Remember the Titans, it has one of the best actors of all time. He should have won an Oscar for this movie, in my opinion. It's crazy. Never won an Oscar, I don't think. Has he won an Oscar?
I think he won one for Ali.
But it's a great movie, great storyline. I feel like it's more like, the storyline itself is just almost just for like the American dream, I guess, the American story. Yeah. Obviously,
the
title says it itself, Pursuit of Happiness.
That's another underdog story in a different way than Rocky is.
What's the Pursuit of Happiness in? That's in the... You have the right to...
I think it's the Declaration of Independence.
But it's a good American story.
Or it's in the Constitution.
It's a good American story, and this may sound weird, but it being a black man, just a minority, I feel like it just strengthens the story, in my opinion. I don't know. I think it just does that. So I think the storyline and everything, it's awesome.
Love Will it. Smith has been nominated for Best Actor twice. He lost for Ali to Denzel Washington for Training Day, and he lost for Pursuit of Happiness to Forest Whitaker in The Last King of Scotland, which is a fucking terrible take. But continue.
It was in the preamble of the Declaration of Independence.
Hell yeah. Pursuit of Happiness is a good pick.
Go ahead.
I said Pursuit of Happiness is a good pick. I don't have any problems with that one.
That's good. My next pick is the Toy Story franchise.
The Toy Story franchise? I also have the Toy Story franchise.
It is very good. I think that I haven't seen the first couple in a very long time, but obviously the last two, much since they came out a lot more recently, it hits home a lot more. Because, I mean, these are like movies that I grew up with, and the Andy was pretty much my age when these movies came out.
I think Toy Story 1 and 3 are the top two animated movies ever.
Yeah, they're definitely up there, without a doubt.
And
Toy Story 3, I almost cried. And the only time I ever cry in movies is when a dog dies.
Toy Story is the launching pad of Pixar, which alone makes it immensely important.
Yes, without a doubt. And like I said, these are movies that I grew up with, so as a kid, obviously, it'd be awesome if your toys talked to you. And I mean, I think all in all, though, I mean, it's truly just a great franchise.
Yeah, Toy Story is the total package, in my opinion, when it comes to an animated movie. It's funny. It fucking definitely tugs on the heartstrings. 1, 3, and 4 will make me cry 100% of the time. I don't
what
have
do
a good
you cry within four.
When are you kidding me?
I was not ever remotely close.
I think crying. I cried at the beginning of 4.
Oh my god!
I don't know. It's hard for me to remember.
If I think I would have to rewatch them, but I think that 4 is my least favorite.
I don't remember.
Rewatch the first two.
I always get a better idea. I never remember what the fuck happens in 2. But I don't want to give Toy Story 4 away because it's too new. But I cried at the beginning and the end.
Maybe at the end, but I don't. I think crying in Toy Story 4 is a take.
I cry at everything.
You do.
They're awesome movies, but
I'm kind of surprised they didn't make your list.
I'm just going to keep it outside of a must-see, just more for the fact that it's animated, which makes it less
impactful. Shows how much technology's come around from the first one to the last one.
I think I subconsciously kind of just went for whatever I love best in each category of movies.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's kind of also what I was doing, because if it's like a must-see,
I didn't do that on purpose, but
when I did my original list, I did a combination of my favorite movies with movies that are like impactful in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Am I next?
Yes.
The Avengers Saga. This is kind of a cheat because there's so many fucking movies in this. But if you didn't live through the entire run, and I'm not saying you have to see every single fucking Marvel movie up to Avengers Endgame, because I didn't even see every Marvel movie up to Avengers Endgame. But seeing the big pieces in that franchise, I feel like you missed out culturally if you didn't live through that. As culminating in Avengers Endgame, the impact that the Marvel movies had on pop culture, and I don't know if that they're necessarily going to change the way movies are made, because it was such a big project, and superhero movies were kind of already established before the Marvel run started, but I guess in a way it does change the way comic book movies are made. And there's not much you can say about the Avengers saga that hasn't already been said. I guess it's called the Infinity Saga now. But all of it leading up and culminating with Avengers Endgame was an incredible run, and Avengers Endgame is a masterpiece in that type of filmmaking, in my opinion.
I had just the Avengers Endgame, but in order to see Avengers Endgame, you don't need to see the whole Marvel comic universe.
Much of it that matters.
But I couldn't imagine just jumping in at Endgame.
Yeah, but in saying that, I would go with Buju and saying just the Avengers Saga. But the biggest reason I'll do with that is comic book movies, superhero movies is one of the biggest movie franchises there is. So that's one big part. But I think just more speaking so on Avengers Endgame, it's a movie that has literally everything in it. I think there's at least action, comedy, I don't know. I think it's throughout the whole movie, there's something consistent that makes the movie good. And I love a movie that's not just focused on one thing, such as action, horror. It's funny. It has action.
It's dramatic.
Dramatic, has a storyline. So just as far as a movie goes, less like this is shying away from like the other movies I had where it has impact on like racial issues and issues in general. It's just more of a great movie itself. Great acting, great directing.
The fact that Avengers Endgame was 3 hours and everybody said double that and we won't give a shit is it just shows you how well executed that entire Marvel run was. Like I said, ending with Endgame. The fact that it was 3 hours and left you wanting more is an incredible accomplishment.
Yes. I also had the Avengers, and I think also something that franchise, as well as individual movies in the years preceding it, especially the Batman trilogy, is that it made, like, being a nerd, because, I mean, traditionally that's super nerd stuff, like, cool, because it was mainstream.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine being, like, in the 80s or whatever when Star Wars first came out, and that just being for, like, the dweebs of the dweebs. Because that rocks. It kicks ass.
Yeah.
And superhero movies then just stunk. Yeah. And so I think these movies, and like I said, especially with the Batman trilogy previously, really helped reshape the image of superhero movies to make them mainstream, which is great for us. But I just couldn't imagine a life where that's like for the dweebs of the dweebs. Like, I might be a dweeb, but I'm not that dweeby.
Since you brought it up, I have The Dark Knight on my must-see list. I don't have the entire Dark Knight trilogy. Batman Begins is fine. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's anywhere near a must-see movie. And Dark Knight Rises, I think, has some bad moments looking back. But it's a fun movie that I do enjoy. I think it's a nice end to that story. But Dark Knight as a standalone, like, you could have never seen a superhero movie in your life. You turn in Dark Knight, I think you enjoy it. Even without it being a Batman movie, I think it's just a great action movie. The story behind it, Heath Ledger is so good as the Joker. Christian Bale makes a great Batman and a great Bruce Wayne.
His acting was so good that he literally died from devoting to his acting.
Heath Ledger. Yeah. Not much you can say about Dark Knight that hasn't been said, but there's a fucking poster above my head of The Dark Knight right now. Arguably the best comic book movie of all time, and even if you take all the comic book aspects out of it, I think it's the best action movie since the other action movie on my list, Die Hard.
I have The Dark Knight as well. I'm going to keep the train rolling since Buju said it, and my last pick was also a superhero movie. At first, I put it on my long 18-movie must-see list. I did this because I love the movie, and similar to what Buju said, it's a great action movie, great acting, great directing. But what made me have to put it on another must-see list was just, like, reassurance, basically. I don't know what website it was, but it was definitely credible. I think it was, like, Rolling Stone or something. Top 100 movies, and it was in the top 5. So it just showed me how great of a movie it actually is. It was like on there with Godfather, so it showed me that it is incredible. So in saying that, I have The Dark Knight.
Yeah, if you told me Dark Knight was your favorite movie of all time, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
So then,
and it's also the greatest DC movie of all time.
Easily.
Yeah, nothing comes close. Who's next here?
You.
Oh, okay. I have the Harry Potter series.
Oof, buddy.
I mean,
I know, but
did you watch all of them?
No, I gave up because I hated them.
It's definitely preference.
Yeah, it definitely is. If you can't get into the first one, I mean, you are a lost cause. Although I think that a lot of people could get into the last couple.
I've heard people say the last one's the worst one.
I don't think so, but I think just because I think it was a good way, or as good of a way as any, to end that series. I think that it's obviously one of the most popular series ever for a movie, and for good reason. It's a very long story about people legitimately. They grew up on the set, and I mean, I'm not going to be nearly as eloquent as you guys, because I made this list very quickly.
Was the movie?
Harry Potter. Oh, yes. And I don't care nearly as much about movies as you guys. It's just something that I would watch over and over again.
in the same way that Star Wars built a universe around it, and the same way Marvel has now, I respect the lore and the universe that Harry Potter's built and the dedicated fan base that it has. Mm-hmm. It's just something I never got into, and I feel like it's too late to get into it now.
Yeah.
That and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, same thing with Lord of the Rings.
That was originally on my list, but I don't think that it makes my cut for a must-see, because they're so long, and there isn't as much action as there should be.
It's people walking for 4.5 hours.
One of them, I don't know which one, but one of them was on, like, was a top 15 movie on that list.
Yeah, that's a common
probably
take.
Return of the King.
I'm sure they're fucking awesome, and I'm sure if I got into them young, I would love them, but I just can't get into them.
Yeah, they make me fall asleep now, so. Buju?
Great slot machine, though. What was next? Scarface.
Never seen this movie.
And it would be borderline as a must-see movie, but it is so culturally relevant, even 30 years now after it's been made, 30-plus years. Al Pacino's great in the movie. It is fucking 80s cheese in a lot of ways, but I think you're missing out if you don't see the full length of Scarface at least once. And I've probably only seen it all the way through once because it is such a drag at times. But I think you're missing out if you don't see Scarface. It's a movie I don't know if I'll ever sit down and see the full length all the way through in one sitting. I just fucking remembered another movie I have to put on my list. But yeah, Scarface is great. I highly recommend. I think it is a must-see movie despite it not being the greatest.
Going back to shying away from action and going back to
don't mean to interrupt you, but for as much as people love Godfather and fucking Casino and Goodfellas, I think, although it's kind of a little bit not necessarily in the same genre, I think Scarface is the best gangster movie of all time. Continue.
Shying away from the action and more onto the storyline itself, I'm going to do the 42, which is about Jackie Robinson baseball. It's not on the same level as Remember the Titans, but the storyline itself, like, I'm a big sports guy, so the sports aspect, the baseball aspect, brings me into it within itself. But he's the first African-American player to play in baseball. Again, hits racial issues, hits social issues, or segregation, I mean. It hits all those issues and highlights it in this movie. I don't think the acting or anything stands out compared to, like, Remember the Titans or any, like, historical type of movie, but just the story itself is what puts it on this list.
See, I think that being a must-see movie for you might be an age thing, because maybe I was too old by the time I'd seen 42, and obviously the Jackie Robinson story is arguably one of the most important stories in the history of humanity in a lot of ways. But 42, the movie, is just a little too Disney-ized for me, if that makes sense.
I love movies about, like, racial issues and highlighting it, because I don't know.
It's a fine movie. Like,
I've also never seen 42.
It's the Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, I know what it is, and I know a lot about it. But it's
the Hollywood Disney version of the Jackie Robinson story, and that's the only that would take away points from it for me. And like I said, maybe since you saw it at a different age than I did, then it plays a little more for you than it does for me.
And those type of movies hit home more for me, I believe.
Yeah,
I love those movies. I'm
sensing a trend.
Because you're going to see it again, and you're going to hate it, so.
Me?
I'm looking forward to it.
You know which movie I'm about to say.
I don't.
Well, okay.
Okay.
All right, so.
Brizzle.
This is my last movie that made my list, because I've been deleting them as they've gone, and I'm fully ready for the hate. But if you only have, because I also took this in a way that if you want to digest what, like, American movies are in, I think it's like 6 movies or series in my case, you have to pick a comedy and you have to have Step Brothers. Have to.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. I thought for sure I was about to get pooped all over. I think that it's something that I understand. It's such a stupid comedy, but it's so great.
It's not good, but it's great. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, 100%. It's not a good movie, but it's something that I can watch.
It's stupid fun.
Every few months, and I can laugh every single time.
Yeah. Step Brothers is great. I don't have anything bad to say about Step Brothers. It's the best modern comedy, in my opinion. And people have kind of overplayed it, I think, in a lot of the same ways that The Office has become so fucking drug out that it, the fan base and the way people treat it makes people hate it in a way. And I was never sucked into the Office love, so I'm outside of that. But as somebody who does love Step Brothers, it sucks to see it kind of treated that way because it is so good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good.
That's my take on Step Brothers. I love Step Brothers. This house is a prison on planet bullshit in the galaxy of this sucks camel dicks. So good.
It's a great, great movie.
This is a house of learned doctors, and you and your hillbilly mother moved in here. Step Brothers is good. I could quote Step Brothers all night. The next one I had on my list, I'm down to my final two. I have The Exorcist. I think it's the best horror movie of all time. And that's probably the oldest movie on my list, I'd assume. I have three different movies from the 70s, which is kind of an upset. Four different movies from the 70s. But Exorcist, if Brendan watched The Exorcist right now, I don't know if he'd love it because it is.
I wouldn't like it. It's probably terrible.
It's terrible. It's
another movie that just changed the way movies are made. And
the newer Exorcist is awesome.
It's a mix between artsy fartsy and just a really fun, good movie. You know what I mean?
At the time period, it's probably amazing, but now it's.
Linda Blair in the movie is unbelievable for the time. Saying things in that movie then that you wouldn't even think about now, but in 1970 fucking four, whenever this movie came out, is like, did somebody just say that? You know what I mean? When she's possessed and something about your mother sucks dicks in hell or something like that. But yeah, Exorcist is top tier. I watched it at a hotel room in Las Vegas for the first time all the way through. And it was like, yeah, I get the hype behind The Exorcist.
I have like four movies I can choose, and I'm just going to go down to two since you have two left, so this is hard.
I'm hard.
This is really hard. I'm going to go with one that probably 80% of a lot of people didn't see, which is Lone Survivor. The acting is amazing.
Have you ever seen
The Lone Survivor?
I've seen parts. I haven't seen it all the way through, so I'm not going to totally trash it, but this is your worst take, in my opinion.
Lone Survivor is a great movie. It highlights war and, like, I don't know where they're at war at, but it's about a war. It's very American-filled. And also, Mark Wahlberg is a great actor, one of my favorite actors of all time. So, in saying that, just, like, it highlights war. It's great action. Action all the way through. They're, like, running and getting shot at and all that. So, I have this.
If I were to pick something from that category of the war type of dramatization, I guess it would be Jarhead, which is more of a drama than it is an action movie. It's a very different movie than Lone Survivor, but if I had to pick one from that category, that's what I would have picked. And like I said,
I agree 100%. That's what I would have picked too.
I haven't seen Lone Survivor all the way through, so I can't have a great opinion on it, but it's just, I don't know if that one's.
I've probably seen it like four times and I love it.
I don't know if I could say that's must see at all. Bryce, you said your list is done.
Yes.
The last one on my list was the documentary Won't You Be My Neighbor about Mr. Rogers, not the Tom Hanks movie that just came out.
A must-see movie about a documentary of one person is not the best take.
Have you seen it?
Don't need to see it.
You do need to see it because it's must-see.
How is it must-see if it's a documentary of one person?
Because the way it's done and the story of Mr. Rogers, it sounds so fucking cheesy to say out loud, but the documentary is incredible. And the way Mr. Rogers, the fucking unrelenting positivity and the way that he changed children's television. He fought for the same social issues, doing it subtly in a time where it was not okay to do things like that. The story of Mr. Rogers.
I know I'd like it. I know I'd like it, but I don't see it as a must-see. Any documentary in a must-see is very hard to say.
There would be a lot of people that have more documentaries than one on their must-see list. But
yes,
if you have not seen Won't You Be My Neighbor, unbelievable documentary. Probably my favorite of all time.
My next one, that's tough. I'm going to just end it there.
You don't want to add anything else?
No. Any honorable mentions for either of you?
I'm going to do 7 Pounds and Courageous.
that one. Oh my God, that
you've never even seen courageous. The movie. I'm tired of you judging movies that you haven't
seen. But I've seen the same people making it's a fucking religious movie, Bryce. Brendan, the least religious person I know.
Which literally strengthens the argument. I don't even like religion.
It's a terrible fucking... I haven't seen the movie, you're right. But I've seen Facing the Giants, made by the same exact people, starring the same exact people. And the movie was fucking horrid. The whole movie is Jesus is real and he's going to fucking help you. That's the entire movie.
I don't even... I'm the most anti-religion person there is. When's the last time you saw it?
If you probably saw like it
6 years ago.
If you saw it for the first time at your current age, you would hate it.
I would love it.
No, you wouldn't.
100%. Buy me the movie then.
No, because you wouldn't be seeing it for the first time.
Yeah. I would 100% love it.
Just it's not even
just about religion. It's about changing your ways. It's about being a great father. It's about
It's a legitimate commitment. Christian film. So yeah. It's about instilling the values of Christianity.
But there's probably 1,000 movies that are better in that of being a good father and changing your fucking Pursuit of Happiness is a better movie in that same category.
But it's like Bryce said, it's instilling Christian values. Even though I'm not Christian, those values are very, very important, taking out the Christianity of the values.
I just think there's better movies that you can fucking pick to do the same thing that movie is trying to do without being a steaming pile of shit.
I haven't seen it, so.
What?
A movie that does what they did Pursuit in a better fashion. It instills different value. It's different. That's more of the American dream. This is they hit hardships and they overcome it and come together.
That sounds like what the Pursuit. I've not seen either the Pursuit of Happiness. That does sound similar, Courageous, actually. But it sounds like very similar to what the Pursuit of Happiness is kind of about.
Agreed. But one's more about.
Is any different? Is this better or worse than the Pursuit of Happiness? Obviously, it's worse if it didn't make your must see list, right?
It's worse, yes. But one's about not getting a job or struggling to get a job, while one's about a dude's fucking kid dying. It's much more emotional and tragic.
I think it's just different.
I just think it was the age you saw it and the way it hit you then, because if you saw it for the first time now, there's no way you'd feel the same way about this movie.
I'm gonna like it.
Look, just reading through the plot on Wikipedia, this sounds like a Hallmark movie.
And that's exactly what it is. Oh, it's a worse Hallmark movie.
I'm sorry, but I haven't seen it, so I can't say with certainty, but man, this sounds awful.
Another
one
that should have been on my list.
Paragraph of this.
One that should have been on my list but wasn't is Shawshank Redemption. If you can turn on Shawshank Redemption and not sit there and watch the rest of it, you are a stronger willed person than me, because Shawshank Redemption is fucking awesome. Have you ever seen Shawshank
Redemption? That is fantastic.
Nope, I never will. You would love it if you saw it. It's fucking another social justice movie in ways. Anyways, I love Shawshank Redemption.
It's a very good movie.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day almost made my fucking list. But that was too absurd. Terminator 2 is great.
How long have we been doing this?
An hour and 26 minutes.
All right.
We've hit the limit.
Is anyone even still listening? If you are, give us a shout on Twitter or Instagram. Maybe Facebook.
After The Rise of Skywalker comes out and after the season of Mandalorian is done, we have to have our Star Wars mega wrap-up after the MMA discussion. That has to be the post-MMA discussion on a show.
When is the Mandalorian over?
The same week, or the week after Rise of Skywalker.
Okay, so there's only a few more episodes?
4. We're halfway.
Okay.
We did it.
We did do it.
We did.
So is there anything else anyone would like to add or plug? What is going on in your lives?
Brendan.
Huh?
Anything you would like to add or plug? What is going on in your life?
Happiness. College is a struggle, but I love it. It's also easy right now, so for me.
Yeah.
First semester of being a business major, it's as easy as it gets.
First semester of being a college student is about as easy as it gets. But if there's nothing else,
go ahead.
It's a wrap.